Hello, everyone. Welcome to Upsize Your Leadership, the podcast about enhancing your effectiveness wherever you lead, whatever your role. It's always a pleasure to have you join us. My name is Mike Armour, the president of Strategic Leadership Development International, which I founded in Dallas in 2001. We are a team of coaches, consultants, trainers, and facilitators who offer comprehensive leadership development programs for C-suite executives, business owners, and upper-level managers. You can learn more about me, my team, and the services which we offer at leaderperfect.com. This week, my podcast is notably shorter than usual. That's because I'm taking a departure from the topics which I normally address on Upsize Your Leadership. Instead, I want to share two humorous incidents with you. Both had to do with a total solar eclipse, which I witnessed in Western Siberia on August 1st, 2009. I've been thinking about these two stories lately because of all the buzz about this month's solar eclipse here in the U.S. and Canada. Living in the Dallas area, we're right in the path of this event. For the next few weeks, I'm sure, people will be sharing their stories about their experience with the eclipse. But I'm also rather certain that none of their stories will top the two I'm about to relate. And their stories are also unlikely to be nearly as funny.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.
I was in Siberia in 2009 to conduct a series of workshops in cities along the Ob River, cities like Novosibirsk, Tomsk, and Baranal-Altai. I delivered these trainings in partnership with the ministries of education in various oblasts, what we would call states, in that part of Russia. These workshops were five-day events with a full schedule from 9 in the morning until 4:30 in the afternoon. Early in my preparation for the trip, I learned that a total solar eclipse would occur on Wednesday afternoon of the training in Baranal. I therefore adjusted the curriculum for that week to allow us to dismiss at noon. Because I was conducting these workshops at the request of ministries of education, we normally conducted them in assembly halls at what the Russians refer to as pedagogical institutes. These schools are the equivalent of teachers' colleges in the U.S., and for this particular workshop, about 70 educators would be in attendance. Wherever I conducted a workshop, the typical day began with an early morning social call on the director of the institute, the person who fills the role of dean in American higher education. This was simply a courtesy visit to discuss the day's schedule while enjoying a sumptuous supply of cookies and hot tea. On Monday, when I arrived for my morning cookies and tea, the director had barely introduced herself before she turned the conversation to the upcoming eclipse. She wanted to be sure that I knew about it. Even more, she wanted assurances that I would dismiss the workshop early enough on Wednesday for the teachers to get home, none of them owned cars, gather their children, and watch the eclipse as a family. She kept repeating, "I cannot believe that this is happening," the excitement in her voice becoming more pronounced every time she said it. "I always dreamed of seeing a total solar eclipse," she said, "but living in Russia on the small salary of a teacher, I knew that I would never have enough money to travel to some faraway place to see an eclipse. But now the good Lord is bringing an eclipse to me, to my very town." Three or four times during the conversation, I confirmed that I had carefully planned to let everyone be on their way home at noon on Wednesday, but her anxieties on the matter were still running high. At noon and again as I was leaving for the day, she stopped me to be sure that we would finish at noon on Wednesday. Tuesday, when I showed up for cookies and hot tea, she had a newspaper spread out across her monstrous desk, showing the path of the eclipse across Russia and the times of maximum eclipse at various points on the journey. Every time I gave the participants a break that day, she came into the assembly hall to remind me of the noon deadline on Wednesday. She was obviously so excited about the eclipse that she could not contain herself. If her repeated reminders had not been so amusing to me, I would have quickly become quite frustrated by them. But on Wednesday, she was no longer waiting for a break in the workshop to offer her reminder. She actually came into the session and interrupted my comments on two occasions to be certain that I was still on schedule to be out by noon. We met the deadline and actually dismissed about 11:45. I left, went back to the apartment where I was staying, and watched the eclipse from the balcony outside my bedroom. However, nature had a trick to play. By the time that the eclipse reached our location, it had peaked moments before and was just beginning to wane. About 0.5% of the sun had started to peek out. Not a 100% eclipse, but pretty close. As I went to the Institute Thursday morning, I expected to find the director walking on air. The Lord had brought her a solar eclipse. Instead, what I found was one angry woman. She was cursing. She was throwing pencils and small objects in frustration. She was pounding her fist on the desk. "They promised me a total eclipse," she was shouting, "but they only gave me a partial eclipse." Then she tossed out a line which I will never forget. She banged her fist against the desk once more and shouted, "The communists are gone, and they are still lying to me." I did not dare laugh and risk offending her, but it took every ounce of strength that I could muster to choke down my laughter. Earlier in the day, however, I had enjoyed an unbridled laugh about the eclipse. It was en route to the workshop. I rode that morning with my good friend Vladimir Skovoronnikov, who was the Minister of Education for that part of Russia. I had traveled widely with him both in his country and all over the U.S. We were close friends, and I was always struck by his intellect, imagination, and tremendous wit. As soon as I got in the car, he asked, "Well, did you see the eclipse yesterday?" "Yes," I replied, I watched it from the balcony." "Oh, my friend," he responded, "you are one of the most blessed of people. You now have an advantage which no other American can match." "How's that?" I asked. He answered with a question of his own. "Have you ever been in a conversation that was boring you to tears and you couldn't find a way to get out of it?" he asked. I nodded in agreement. "Well," he said, "in the future, when that happens, you wait for a pause in the other person's remarks and you ask, 'Have you ever seen a total solar eclipse in Siberia?' And of course, their answer will be no. At which point you say," and here, as he went on, he turned his back slightly to me and made a dismissive wave of his hand, "Then why am I even talking to you?" And you walk away. He laughed heartily at his own joke, and I laughed even harder. In the years since, I've found myself in a number of conversations which were very much like the one that he described, and I've wished time and again that I had the nerve to follow his advice, but I never have. For a PDF transcript of today's program, go to upsizeyourleadership.com/episodes. There you will find an index of my 5 years of podcasts. Look for the title for this one and click on the link to download scripts. And while you're at it, take a moment to click or tap on the subscribe button on your podcast player. That way I can alert you whenever a new episode goes live. You can also help me immensely when you share this podcast with friends and colleagues. Our audience continues to grow because listeners like you are so gracious in recommending the podcast to others. I look forward to our next visit. Until then, find some way every day to upsize your leadership.